Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy. It's Bergkamp. That's magnificent.
Gentle squad.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to BW Live. Do you remember last season when we had loads and loads of painful shows? There's another one today.
Okay. Do you remember last season?
Sorry, that was me. I'm so sorry.
You fucking.
I know. Paul and Chris Carpenter, I'm sorry.
You get. I'm going to say welcome to our first guest. Hello, Carl. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm not happy with you right now, but I'll get over it. You okay, pal?
Yes, I'm very, very well. Do you know what? Like, after the game, there's no point getting mad anymore. He's just got to shrug his shoulders and just like, you know what? It is what it is.
Exactly, pal, exactly. You know, I think we all saw it coming, you know. Well, most of us saw it coming, let's just put it like that way. But it is what it is, as you say. My other guest today, it's Emma, here he is. It's the barmaid's favourite, it's John Welsh. Hello, John.
Hello, Jace.
How are you, pal?
I've been better. Tough day at the office, yeah.
It's so tough, I didn't say hello, John. And you didn't say...
didn't even do the joke today.
No. You know what? Listeners, I do apologise. I was telling John earlier on before Carl joined us. I got something in my eye on Thursday, so my eye's been playing up since Thursday. And last night, I was moving something in the fridge, and a bit of plastic went in the other eye. So I've just been washing my eyes out all morning. I've had a nightmare, and the Arsenal didn't help. But never mind, let's get on to who's in the box. First in the box, Daz316, then there was Archie, then there was Payesh Kapoor, then there was J-Rob, then there was Peter Green, then there was Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, then there was Kilo Dogs, Daryl Kane, M235100, Stan the Man 450, Thomas from Norway, Hypno Showed, Guna73, K-Man 1867, oh, hello all you all. How are you? See Roy FC's there. How are you, lovely gooners? The ground, the walrus and the hedgehogs there. My Ankh and the Gendron's there. Sorry, I'm trying to get as many as possible, but you know what it's like. Well, guys, yeah, not the greatest day, is it? Not the greatest day at all. But c'est la vie. Let's get straight into it. John, can we talk about something else?
I mean, we could, but it's kind of off-brand. We're supposed to talk about Arsenal and the game that we just covered. So, this, you know, it's kind of what we do, mate. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, the McManus is there. Oh, right. Before we start, my apologies. Mr. Matt Sanasi has done us a new opening number for the pod, and I haven't thanked him. Danny has on the podcast, but I haven't. Matt Sanasi, you're an absolute legend. Thank you ever so much from all the guys. We already have a donation. J-Rob goes in hard, and he says, good man, Carl. Lol, tough lads, hard watch. Yeah, it wasn't the best, was it? It really was. Fuck, I have had enough, to be honest with you. But never mind, on to lineups and setup. John, no Ozil, no Rambo. We initially thought we were going with a three at the back, but Unai went 4-4-2. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, just quickly before we do that, Unique79 as well with the donation. After every dark night, there is a brighter day. Thank you as always for donation, Unique79. I thought it was back three, and I thought Lichtsteiner and Kolasinac would be wingbacks. Nacho is one of the centre-backs. Decided to go 4-4-2. I kind of like the fact he went for that because I think he came into this game with the idea that, you know, we're not going to, you know, put on a masterclass defensive performance and nick a 1-0 here. We're probably going to have to outscore City if we want to win the game. I think most people would have taken a draw before the game if he'd done it. And he also had seen partly what Newcastle had done where they kind of smothered City a little bit. So maybe it was a part of that and trying to break. He obviously had some injuries as well, no Jack available for the game, forced his hand in midfield and what he could do. Maitland-Niles wasn't available, who I think probably would have got in ahead of Lichtsteiner at right back, just because he is a bit, you know, because he's got the pace, not the experience. So yeah, I would have liked to have seen Jenkinson over Lichtsteiner, I think, just because if he's got that speed. And I would have liked to see another man in the middle, in midfield, just because I thought City were going to swamp us there. So I wasn't particularly confident when I saw the lineup, but I actually thought the first half we did okay.
Well, let's get straight into the game. Carl, my first note on the game, and I'll read it out to you. Oh, fuck. What the fuck is Iwobi doing? Oh, where are the defence? 1-0 to City.
Well, I have to laugh because, like, even in our group, I love our group, I do, but when we're playing, I do try to avoid it sometimes. I'm not going to say reason why, because I'm sure everyone knows, but I just try to avoid it. But I had to, today I had to, because literally, so the ball, you know, is bounced around, and I'm sure it's Guendouzi that plays it to Iwobi, and Iwobi divers on the ball. And I'm sitting here and I'm screaming at my TV, clear it. Like, not every day do you need to make sure you pass it to a player. Get it out of the danger area. That's like basic Barbican Pirate sort of flipping. No, I'm sure Chris would even say that. Clear it. And he divers. And then I think it's Bernardo Silva who gets the ball, plays it across the box, and Aguero, you know, the guy is a magician. I'm sure we'll talk about him more later, but brilliant header. But that goal, 100%, Iwobi's fault. I'm sorry. Like, it really, really is, because you're a professional footballer. You should recognise danger. You should know that danger's coming towards you. And you div. Even if you pull it out into touch, you know, and give the guys a chance to regroup, or just punt it up pitch. That's what you should have done. That's originally what you should have done, is punt it straight up the pitch. I think it's just ridiculous. But, you know, we pay for our mistakes, and that's what happens.
Absolutely, mate. Like, I'm sure nobody's feeling worse about it than Alex Iwobi, to be fair to him. You know, it was a horrendous mistake. But before I go to that, the McManus has piled in with another donation, and he says, shit result tonight, but looking forward to the show. Oh, the McManus, you're an absolute legend. Thank you ever so much. You know, you're a star, mate. And he's a great follow on Instagram as well. John, you know, nobody's going to be feeling worse than it will be by that, but it was a horrendous error from him. To make matters worse, you had Mustafi way too deep, playing everybody on side. You had Koscielny and Nacho, no idea where Aguero was. It was a shit show start to finish that goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, we just looked very confused at the start of the game. And, I mean, when the ball initially bounces, Guendouzi gets it, I think everyone bar Lacazette is in our box. So our whole team is there to clear the ball, and we just don't deal with it at all. And like Carl said, Iwobi, I don't know what he was doing. He's obviously, I assume he's attempting to play to the way Uno likes to play, which is keep the ball and try and pass it out from the back and not just clear it up the pitch. But he's right. Sometimes you just have to do that. You just have to clear your lines and just put your foot through it. And that was really disappointing. But the fact that no one the team just didn't react quick enough when he lost the ball. And it's a really good move from Aguero, and it's a great header. But the amount of times that he got in between Mustafi and Koscielny, and no one really picked him up, or midfielders for that point, was really, really disappointing. And it's the worst possible way to start the game as well.
It was absolutely horrendous. Carl, quickly followed up by Mustafi, takes out Aguero. Well, I say takes out. He grabs him by the shoulder. I don't think it's the biggest grab in the world. I think Aguero makes the most out of it. But should City have had a penalty as well to follow that up?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I really do think that's a penalty, because had that had been, you know, one of their players on one of our players, I would have been screaming penalty, I would have been screaming blue murder, I would have been screaming for video refereeing, I would have been going mad. So I'm going to be very honest. I did think it was a penalty, and I think we got away with that one. Yes, you know what? Aguero made the most of it, but what player doesn't these days? What player in world football doesn't make the most when they've been tackled or touched in the box? Everyone does it. And I'm not saying it's right just because everyone does it. I'm not claiming that at all. But at the end of the day, you've got to be very careful when you're in those positions around players of, you know, Aguero's quality. He managed to get the other side of him. He grabbed him. And for me, sorry, that is a penalty. It genuinely is, and I think we got away with that one.
I've only got one eye in the way I'm looking at that stuff. I see, you know, they got away with enough during the game, to be fair. But yeah, you're probably correct. I'd be really annoyed if it went, if we didn't get a penalty for the same thing. John Leno made a save from Sterling. Then you get a Laporte goal from the free kick, which is rightfully ruled offside. They came at us thick and fast early, didn't they? There was no sort of hiding place for us in that first 10 minutes.
Yeah, they really came out of the blocks very quick. And it's a good decision from the line as well. He was offside and it was actually quite tight as well. One of the ones that could have been easily been given. But I had MBSC, I think it was, or someone, whoever it was, Lee Dixon commentates for. And he was, him and Graham Lasso both saying how when teams keep that high line, they don't often stick enough. They always break early and don't pull it off. And we executed that really, really well today. I actually thought in terms of the defensive line, a lot of times at set pieces, we were actually pretty good. And that one was very good. The problem was that City were piling on so much pressure. It was really hard for us to get out and get up the other end of the pitch and do anything. Although actually we did reply fairly quickly.
Yeah, well, let's go straight to that because I want both your opinions on it. We win the corner, John, and it's a set piece straight from the training ground. Talk me through it.
Yeah, just quickly before that, Goonshire 77 with a donation as well. Thank you very much for that. Really, really appreciate it. That goal was old school, bold flick on Tony Adams coming in at the back stick. Except it was Nacho to Koscielny. It was really, really good. It was a great ball in. Clearly something they worked on in the training ground. We've seen that a few times already this season that from set pieces, we mix it up a little bit and we do actually have some proper play patterns, which we didn't do as much. Great response. And it's the best way to react as well when you go a goal down. We didn't have much of the ball. We didn't have a lot of the play up to that point, but we got a corner and that was our first chance of the game when we took it, which is something in the recent games we've been a little bit guilty of wasting good chances like that.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. Carl, your views on the goal, because, you know, it was a really good response, wasn't it?
It was. When we was under the cosh for a little bit, you know, Man City were just passing around us. It was, you know, really, it looked like it was going to be a really bad beating. It did. And, you know, we responded, like John said, and like you mentioned, Jason, is we responded in the correct way. We scored, and it kind of shocked Man City as well, because they were finding the game really, really easy to that point. And I think it sort of, when we scored, it was a shock to their system. It was like, oh, we haven't got the game all our own way now. So now they're having to sort of switch up a little bit. And I think they even thought that the game was a bit too easy. And after the game, we grew. And, you know, it just capable, it shows what we can do when we're capable of it. You know, if we really, really think about it, we can score. You know, everyone thought Man City were going to hammer us and, you know, we wasn't going to get a goal up there. And yeah, we found the game hard, but it just shows when we really want to, we can score.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it was a fantastic response. I was really surprised by it, actually. But, you know, great to see. John, and then you get, Leno makes a save from Otamendi. But we get to see Lacazette taking off the ball on a counter-attack, and it was kind of in front of Atkinson, and just let go. I mean, I was getting a bit annoyed by this point because, you know, and it's not having to go at the referee, but I just felt, you know, that's a clear yellow card because it's a professional foul, but Atkinson just lets it go. What were your thoughts there?
I was a little bit disappointed. I actually think, other than that, the referee had an okay game because I thought he let the game flow pretty well. Some of the tackles were a little bit, not like nasty, but a little bit more physical than sometimes you would see in the Premier League that sometimes get blown up for. So I was okay with that. I thought the game was played in the right spirit and everything. That one's a little bit disappointing. But he was the amount of times he let play go on and then pull it back and have a talking to the player who committed a foul in the build-up for Arsenal or City. And a couple of times we went back and gave yellow cards as well. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Liquid. Comes in with not the nicest of comments, but thanks for the view, mate. We really appreciate it. You crack on. Come back out, come back in. We don't mind, you know. Just be nice. Carl, you then see Kolasinac. He tries to put a cross in. It hits the side netting. It doesn't come off well. But our three strikers, well, you had the two strikers in Lacazette, Aubameyang, and you had Wobi at the edge of the box. Nobody showing any ambition to get in the box. That really annoyed me. What do you think about that little piece of play?
I think we was probably more concerned about the counter-attack, and that's what you could tell, because there were times when, you know, Aubameyang and Lacazette were playing as centre midfielders rather than centre forwards. And I think, you know, we didn't want to get caught too high up the pitch. And that's the only thing I can really think of, because if you're a striker, you're going to try and bust your gut to get into that box, to get onto any sort of cross that comes across the pitch. But I think, personally, I think Emery had drilled into them, you know, be careful of the counter-attack, be careful of the counter-attack. So they didn't want to get too high up the pitch, get stuck, they counter-attack us and score. So to me, that's what was in their mind.
But they're all on the edge of the box. And if you're not going to show ambition in the box, what hope have you got? Because that, you know, as much as I thought the set piece goal was great, you know, open play, we didn't offer an awful lot, did we?
No, but you got to give credit to City as well, because they didn't give us time to play. They didn't give us a chance to play. I mean, we'll get onto it later, but I think Guendouzi was amazing today, and I haven't been his biggest fan this season, but I think today he was outstanding. I genuinely do, because he was picking up passes left, right and centre, and there were times when he'd look forward and there was no one to pass to, just because Lacazette and Aubameyang were just in the middle of the pitch. You're playing centre mid. And there's only certain times you can just pump up the pitch. And if you've got no one to pass up to, what are you doing? I think, you know, credit has to go to Man City. They pinned us in. There were times when, you know, we had all 11 men behind the ball and there was nothing we could do. It was, you know, as much as bad as Arsenal were today, Man City were very, very good today as well.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. John, we had a counter-attack, Lacazette to Aubameyang, great ball, Edison sharp out to clear. That was the kind of the story of our counter-attacks. They never quite came off, did they?
Yeah, it was either the ball wasn't quite right, or was overhit a little bit, or, you know, credit to Man City, I thought they cut them out. I mean, that one, Edison, that just shows you why they spent all that money on him. Not necessarily for his shot stopping, although I do think that is good. It's the way he reads the game and his awareness with that. So that's what I felt we lacked. There was a little bit, like, I thought we played okay first half and we did better than I expected, especially after I'd seen the lineup. And getting it back to 1-1 was great. But there was a slight disconnect between Guendouzi, Torreira as the midfield two, and then, you know, Iwobi's playing on the right, Kolasinac on the left. I mean, there wasn't quite the connection to the forward players in the game. And like Carl said, I did feel that Lacazette and Aubameyang were both coming so deep at times that when we did turn and we got the chance to counter, that there often, or very often, wasn't an out ball and it slowed us down a little bit. Or if there was an out ball, it was one player against like three or four of City's.
I'm sorry, I've just seen, have you seen in the box? Box Beats Beats Box Dr. Dre has put in a comment about somebody's debut. I'm not going to read it out because I think it's harsh, okay? But it's, I take my hat off to you, pal. That's funny. That's brilliant. Carl, we have a bit of pressure on them. As I say, you know, first half was, I agree with John, it was better than expected. I was pleasantly surprised. Kolasinac has a shot saved, then Torreira has a shot blocked, but then City counter and it's instantaneous, isn't it? Instantaneous.
Yeah, it was annoying because I was just thinking to myself, yes, we're going to get into half-time, 1-1, and we'll be fine. I genuinely thought we'd be fine. And literally, yeah, it was just, for me, it was mistakes again. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, we didn't, I'm not going to say Man City weren't good, because they were, but it was just mistakes. Lichtsteiner, where was he? You know, people say that we put Lichtsteiner for, you know, his experience and his guidance. What he did today was nothing to do with experience, because that was bad, 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 bad defending. Because if you know that you're meant to be playing right back, he was at the time, I don't know if we switched to back three, because I'm trying to think of reasons why he was so narrow, and I can't think of any reason why he was so narrow. So if he's playing, you know, right back, and you see Sterling so free, like all that space, why are you not gone towards him? And if Sterling plays the ball back, I think, and then gets the ball back, and then he doesn't follow him in. He just literally watches Sterling play. And I don't know if he was, because he was tired. I don't know if he just switched off. I have no idea. But, you know, and Sterling rolls the ball across the pitch, and Aguero's there again to tap it in. And it's just our mistakes again.
Well, this is the thing. We'll talk about that goal now then. You know, I thought Aguero did him. I thought Sterling did him, okay? But I thought the interplay from City on that goal was excellent. I thought, you know, it was first-time balls each and every time, okay? I think sometimes you've just got to accept it's a really good goal. I think, you know, I felt City had been in that position where, you know, they were playing lots of fouls and we'd frustrated them for a while. But when they got on it, I mean, John, your thoughts on that Aguero goal? Because the Sterling cross is straight across, you know what I mean? It's in, it's early, he's beaten his man. But the interplay before it, it just, they played this off the park there.
The whole move was really, really good. And I don't disagree. I think sometimes when a team does that, you just have to put your hands up and go, you know, that's really, really good passing, very good movement. I did think we made it a little bit too easy. We were extremely narrow all game. Which I do understand why he went with that, because they're not necessarily a team who's going to sling it into the box. And if they do, you know, you would expect your centre-backs to win a header against Aguero. The only problem I had with that goal is the fact that Aguero is completely unmarked at the back post. And that, as good as all the build-up play was from City and all the one-time passing and the first-time ball from Sterling, which was fantastic, that's all great. But the fact that neither Nacho or Kolasinac are anywhere near Aguero, and he just sort of stood there mesmerised by the passing and not moving. Aguero shouldn't be free at the back stick. You've got to at least have someone challenging him there. That's ridiculous.
But don't you think they're going to stop the build-up? Like, I listen...
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I think if you get closer to the players, then, yeah, you can get in there and you can make a challenge, you can make a tackle. I think City are good enough to play one-time passes and we won't get to the ball quick enough and their movement's good enough. But the fact that the biggest problem for me in that whole build-up was the fact that no one's on Aguero. He's totally unmarked at the back post. That's criminal.
Yeah, and I get that, and I understand. But don't you think we should have at least tried to attempt to stop the cross? Like, and I'm not trying to Lichtsteiner bash here. I'm not, I promise you. But, like, for me, you've got to do better. And I understand, you know, you can talk about his age all you want, but we bought him for his experience. That's what we bought him for. And for me, you've got to stop that cross. And we talk about it all the time. Like, I remember being on this show against, and I can't remember who it was, and we talked about stopping the cross, Southampton it was, and we didn't stop the cross. And we've done the same thing again today. I understand the movement was absolutely tremendous. It honestly was, but for me, I don't know, it doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't. I just think Lichtsteiner was out of position, he just ball watched, didn't track a run, and yeah, Aguero snuck in at the far post, and it's just mistake after mistake with Arsenal, and that's what annoys me more. You know, I'm not saying that Man City weren't deserving of that goal, but we made it easy for them, like you said, John.
To be honest, Carl, I just think Lichtsteiner's legs are gone. I think it's as simple as that. I think his legs are gone, you know? I don't think he's as nimble as he was, you know, a few years ago, and he's at the height of his career with Juve. And I just think, you know, we've seen it all season from him, to be honest. It's a shame, but, you know, he's not in that physical position where he's able to handle the likes of Sterling anymore. And, you know, we are where we are with it. it's a shame. And you're not wrong at all in what you're saying, but I think sometimes, you know, a player gets to a point and all of a sudden it's just way too difficult. Arian Hidari piles in with a donation and he says, it was nice enough of John Welsh to allow City to win. It's your fault, John. It's your fault.
Look, there was some Arsenal fans, and I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with them. I don't right now because I feel bad, because obviously I always want Arsenal to win. But if this result means that City win the league and Liverpool don't, I'm just saying it's not such a bad day, is it? Just we have to put that spin on it. So, you know, I'm just putting it out there.
If that's the 3 points that win City the league, where we can be a little bit more upbeat. I feel gutted at the moment. I'm absolutely horrified by it at the moment. Carl, back to you, fucking John. End of the first half, you see De Bruyne whip across the face of the goal. Thankfully, nobody got on the end of it. That first half, we could have been 5-1 down, couldn't we?
Yeah, like I said, I think I was hoping we'd get in at 1-1, and I think it would have been very good for us to get in at 1-1. But Man City, they grew into the game. And as the first half was closing, you could tell that they'd found their rhythm again. You know, we kind of disrupted it from about 10 minutes on after we scored. But I think you could tell that they were just growing into the game and they were finding their rhythm. And I don't know whether Arsenal were tiring or we just ran out of ideas, but even when we went in at halftime 2-1 down, like you said, Jason, it was like, oh, we're only 2-1 down. And when you say that, you think to yourself, oh, what's going to happen for the second half? Because you just don't know. It could either go two ways. Because, yeah, people say that we're a second half team, but we're playing Man City at their ground. It's a whole different kettle of fish.
It was frustrating. I mean, my overall thoughts, John, on the first half were we played a hell of a lot better than I expected. But you know, you just kind of thought, oh, they're going to come back and hump us, didn't you?
I thought that City, I think Carl got it right, that they, in a way, they sort of thought it was too easy after the first sort of 5-10 minutes because they got the early goal and then they had the penalty shout and stuff. And maybe they relaxed a little bit too much. And then they thought the way that we, for the most part, kind of killed a lot of their chances. They still created chances, obviously, because they're a very good team and they obviously got the second goal late on. But I didn't think, we didn't look as in much trouble. You know, like the Liverpool game where we were just like all over the place and we looked completely destroyed and didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of expected today. But then at the end of the first half, I was like, I'm disappointed it's 2-1 that they got the goal so late. But I was like, okay, we played all right. We showed good character. We got the goal back into it. We're generally better in second halves anyway. I thought, although I didn't necessarily agree with the lineup, I looked at our sub bench, thought Ramsey's on there. Ozil, if he gets to come on, is on there. Maybe Suarez does. I don't know. You know, wasn't sure whether he's coming. So I was like, we've got stuff on the bench to change the game as well. So I was a little bit more confident. I then looked at the City bench and then got a bit scared again. But I just thought, okay, City aren't playing their best here. Maybe we've got a chance. We can get a point out of this or something.
Yeah, well,
I mean, at half-time, you know, I just thought the way we'd played the game and stuff. Like, Lichtsteiner was bad, but I didn't think he was as awful as I expected him to be. Iwobi was obviously disappointed for the goal, but I thought the few times he got the ball, he did actually carry up the pitch quite well. Kolasinac as a left midfielder was the thing that was worrying me and wasn't really working. I expected that to be this first sort of change in the system.
Well, look, let's wait till we go into the second half, is it? Chat box, how are you? How the devil are we all? I hope you're well. I got 370 of you in here right now, and I got 47 likes. Are you trying to be like Alex Iwobi on the edge of the box, giving it all away? Are you trying to be like our defence, not knowing who to mark, where they're coming from, what's happening? Are you trying to be like the Arsenal in the second half, not even trying to get a fucking shot on target? That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. Once again, you know, me and John do this week in, week out. Carl's given up his precious private time now to join us, you know? And that's all we get is fucking 56 likes. You should be fucking ashamed of yourselves, really. Honestly, this is embarrassing. You're more embarrassing than us away at Liverpool. You're more embarrassing than us away at City. You know, your grandparents are there right now crying because they're so bloody ashamed of you. Start stroking that like button. Tappy, tappy. Let's
don't
get
say
going.
Stroke. Please don't say stroke the like button. I hate it when you say stroke.
I didn't say thumb at the bum of the like button, did I? Come on.
God.
Oh,
you know where this could go. It could go very badly wrong. Yeah, Junior Gunner, you're right. That Iwobi analogy was awful, but what do you expect? And it is cold in Wales, boys. Got 4 layers on and bloody freezing. And I'm still doing this, and you're not tapping that like button. Tappy, tappy. Let's get going. Come on, show a bit of backbone, not like the Arsenal. Let's go.
I think we need to do bingo with you, Jason, like we did with Chris on the pod.
What's that?
I think we need to do the bingo with you, like we did with Chris on the pod.
let's get... Come on, I'm far easier to do than Chris. I use the same old lines time and time again. You know, you know what's coming. That's why they come back, I think, or some of them. God help. And yes, on to the second half. Carl, no changes second half, which I was quite surprised about. First thing that really happens, Cos fouls Aguero. Now, I felt Aguero jumps into him. I thought it was a bollocks decision. But Silva hits the wall of the free kick. What did you think of the decision?
If it's the one I can remember, is it the one where he let him, the ball bounced? Yeah, it was that one. Yeah, I don't think it was a foul, but I'm probably looking at that from my Arsenal hat rather than my football head. But as I said, that from these modern day players, and I'm saying modern day, like I'm flipping watching football from the 70s, that people don't need a reason to go down. If they feel the touch, they feel a little brush, they're going to go down. And unfortunately, it's how football is now. Like, you get a tiny little tap, you're going down because you're going to try and do anything you can to get your team a free kick, a penalty, or just up the pitch. So, unfortunately, now it's just part of modern day football, and it's sad. It's sad. It's very sad, but it's not going to change. It's not going to change, even with VAR, because I don't think they're going to review those sort of decisions. But nothing's going to change.
No, I'm afraid you're correct there, Paul. So my next notes are KDB saved by Leno. Mustafi wins the ball from Aguero in the box. KDB shot saved by Leno. Leno saved from KDB. See me mixing it up there? you know what I mean? They were passing around us, John. We were well and truly under the cosh. It was Groundhog Day, wasn't it? It really was.
Yeah, my hope started to slowly sap away in the second half because they came out, they started quick. We couldn't seem to get a foot on the ball. And the thing that made it worse for me is that they looked like they weren't like playing at their full like speed or going through the gears, if you want to use that analogy. You know, they were in second gear and could quite easily step it up at any point when they wanted. It got to the point where it's like, I kind of think they're toying with us and they're just going to choose when they want to get a goal almost. And we couldn't get the ball. Lacazette, Aubameyang didn't touch it at all. They couldn't get it up to them. If we did get the ball, it would either be lost immediately and City would hustle it back so quickly, or, you know, they'd end up we'd just clear it and try and get it out of our box. And it just kind of felt inevitable that City were going to get the third goal and just like seal the game, to be honest, at that point. And that's what disappointed me, because I thought from how we played in the first half, although it was 2-1, I did think we did a lot better than most people expected. And I just thought we could just carry that on a little bit into the second, but we looked tired. The midfield was getting overrun. Guendouzi and Torreira had done pretty well, yeah. I thought. They just looked knackered come second half.
I think they were beaten men by then. I thought their first half performances were great. I wouldn't knock either of them for their second half performances, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, the quality of the City passing, And the way they got runners coming at us, they just couldn't cope. I think they needed an extra man in that midfield to help.
The other thing as well is, like, you've got down there, like, De Bruyne shot, De Bruyne shot, De Bruyne shot, Leno saves. None of those shots were hit. Like, only one, really, I think, was really connected with properly. Not to the level that you'd expect from De Bruyne. You imagine a fully fit Kevin De Bruyne today, the amount of chances he got on goal. He could have got a hat-trick as well. So, I mean, saving grace, but also the fact that Leno did put the saves in today because he did make a couple of good ones.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Carl, then comes the third. Sterling beats Iwobi, puts the cross in, low and hard. Leno can only sort of, it doesn't quite get to it. Aguero slides in. Lots of calls for handball on this. What did you think?
I looked at it and I looked in our group and I looked at it again. I think it would have been very harsh to call it handball. And I hate saying it because I really want to say, oh yeah, it's deliberate handball and blah, blah, blah. I just don't think it's deliberate. I think he tries to slide in, he falls. The ball does hit his hand, but it goes in. So I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know the rules, whether it should have been chalked off because it went in off his hand, because it's not deliberate. It's not deliberate. I'm watching it now and it's 100% not deliberate. He tries to slide in, he falls, the ball bounces up, hit his hand and it goes in. So because it's not deliberate doesn't mean it's not handball, but because it goes in off his hand doesn't mean it's handball. It's really hard. Like, I don't, John, do you know the rules on that? Because I genuinely think it's really hard to say whether it should have been chalked off or not.
It's weird. Chris brought it up actually in our chat because we all disagreed. Some of us said handball, some didn't. The World Cup, that would have been given as a handball, but that was the precedent they set at the World Cup and what the referees were told. Does that mean that rule is then applied to the Premier League? I've genuinely got no idea. To me, I think it would have been harsh to rule it out.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, Carl, I think the ball comes off, it hits his chest and then comes back off him and hits his arm. I'm not sure how he's going to be able to get his arm out of the way. Because if he moves his arm up and it hits it, then his arm's in an unnatural position and that would be handball. The fact his arm's down by his side, that is the natural position for it.
And he doesn't move his arm towards the ball either.
Yeah, so I think there are times when even if you haven't made a movement towards the ball with your hand, it's still a handball. But I think for me in that case, I don't think it is, because I think it is just it's bounced back off him. He hasn't made a move towards it and it's gone in. I mean, it's kind of a moot point in the game because, I mean, I think everyone agrees City with a better team and probably, well, not just probably, should have scored more goals more than likely and probably should have had a penalty as well. But it's one of those things that maybe next season when VAR's in, that kind of gets cleared up. It's one of those weird ones where the ruling isn't exactly clear on it. I do agree with Chris that in the World Cup, that would have been a handball, but it's not the same, necessarily the same rules here, which I know is a weird thing to do because it's supposed to be universal throughout football, but it's not.
Well, next season, it might be chalked off when we have VAR. So,
yeah, maybe.
I know it's neither here nor there right now, but it's a really hard one because, like I said, you could have 100 people and 50 will say yes and 50 will say no. I just think that you're right what you're saying, John. His arm is not in an unnatural position. He doesn't make any move towards the ball with his arm. So, like, if I'm going to do it again, put my Arsenal hat on, had that been Lacazette and the goal would have been ruled off, I would have been pissed.
Yeah, I think that's the same for me. If that's Lacazette, Aubameyang, anyone else, it comes back off them and then hits their arm as they're sliding in, then, yeah, I'm going to be calling for it to be a goal. So I don't see, I know why you would call it the other way because you're going to be biased and you want to obviously cheer your team on, but we try to keep it as balanced as we can. So I think it was okay.
Okay. I mean, the one thing I will say about that is if you look at Aguero's movement and the way they just got balls into the box, it was fabulous from them, you know, and Aguero's always brave. He's always searching around there and we could learn a thing or two from them. And that's, you know, he's always taking the chance and it paid dividends for him. John Gundogan, he gets a yellow card for diving. Oh, bear me a second. We've got a couple of spammers in here at the moment. Now, look, I don't mean to be horrible, but get the fuck out of my chat box, you assholes. Don't come in here, okay, upsetting my fucking chat box when you've got nothing to do but put in shit threads or shit links to whatever shit you're putting out there. Get the fuck out of my chat box. I'm annoyed enough as it is. Take care. Good night. Goodbye. Sorry, John. Talk to me about Gundogan's. Yeah, look hard for diving.
You mean Gundogan? Yeah.
Hey, sorry, Edda. Gundogan. Okay, but...
Oh, dear. That's good to see from the referee. I thought that's great. We don't see it enough. A lot of times when a referee doesn't give it could have been very easily the referee could have gone, no penalty and just played on and not booked him. But the fact he booked him, he did the right thing. And I really like that to see. And Gundogan didn't really complain about it because he knew what he'd done. So, yeah, good officiating.
I'm surprised you didn't call for the penalty there, mate, to be fair. You know what I mean? I thought you were going to say way too harsh. Should it be the penalty?
No, not at all. No.
Oh, God. Carl, then we finally see some movement from the bench. Iwobi and Kolasinac are replaced by Ramsey and Suarez. Too little, too late from the manager. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, when you make your debut, when your team's 3-1 down, it's not nice, is it? You know, do you know what? There are people that moan about Emre when he makes substitutions too early. The people that moan about him when it's too late. It is the way it is, isn't it? He tried to change the game maybe a little bit too little too late. But, you know, I think he did want to give Suarez his debut just to see, give the Arsenal fans a chance to see what he can do as well. You know, he's a loan signing. He's trying to sort of, you know, give the team a little boost. And when you're 3-1 away to City, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's very hard for him to come in and, you know, try to do anything. But right now, I personally would have started Ramsey, but that's neither here nor there. But good luck to the guy. He's come on. He had a few good touches. He looks quick on the ball. He's got fast feet. You could tell looking at his feet. And there was a chance where he sort of slip between two players, and I thought, oh, that's good. That's good. And, you know,
we're going to talk about him in a bit, actually. We're going to talk about his debut in a bit. John, then we came on Silver Shot, say by Leno. Leno, say from Aguero. And then you get Mustafi going off for Mavropanos. Bit of a strange one, I got to admit, where they'd taken a hit to the head and there was an incident in the box earlier on. I don't know. But then it's back on to Leno, say from Silva. Guendouzi gives the ball away. Jesus, poor shot saved. Oh, Jesus, it was just one-way traffic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just a case of, can we keep it a 3-1? Do City really want to punish us? They looked like for a 5-minute spell they were going to turn it on. But just, I think after a while they just went, you know what, 3-1's enough. We don't need any more. They look quite comfortable. I'm sure Pep was annoyed. Probably wanted more goals for the goal difference and everything. But yeah, thankfully Leno kept us in it, made some good saves. I thought some of the defensive tackles we made were decent, but they were just pulling us apart at will. And it was, I think when it got to 3-1, it was kind of heads dropped. There was a little spurt of energy when Ramsey and Suarez came on, but that lasted for a couple of minutes. And after that, I think our players were kind of, yeah, look, we've lost the game. Let's just not get embarrassed here and just try and see it out. And I honestly not sure if Aubameyang or Lacazette touched the ball in the second half. They may not have got, if they did get it, it was probably because they came back to make a tackle.
Yeah, it had gone, but then Carl, let's just wrap the game up now. We got humped. We got absolutely humped. And I think, you know, the starkest start of the night, of the evening is City had 13 second half attempts, 8 were on target. We had absolutely zero. It was not a good day at the office, was it?
No, we seem to be having these quite often, and it's getting a bit annoying. You know, just a tad. The fact that we never had a shot on goal in the second half, for me, and we're meant to be a top six side, I think it's embarrassing. I do. I'll be honest, because I don't think there's another team in the top six that would happen to. That stat would not happen to any other team apart from us. And it's frustrating. It's annoying because, you know, this is our team now until the end of the season. You know, when no one else is going to come back in. We're not going to get any other additions. We've lost our first choice right back. We've lost Holding for the season. So this is our team now. This is it. And I don't want to go into it, but I do think we made mistakes in the transfer window. I think we should have brought in some sort of defensive player. I do, because I just think we're so short at the back right now. It's just ridiculous. And yeah, you look at it, we have got people to come back. We have got Mavropanos looked good today, and he made a couple of interceptions, which was not too bad. I thought, you know, he was okay, but is he ready to start? Probably not. I think that we have to be better. How we're better, I don't know. What we can do to improve, I don't know. Looking at our running, I think our next 8 games are all winnable games. I think every single one of those games are winnable. And if we can go on a little run, I'll be very happy. But today, we were shown up. Man City kind of were there for the taking. After they lost to Newcastle, maybe they were there. Their heads would have dropped a little bit. But I think it was a case of a wounded animal. And when you wound an animal, that's when they're most protective or when they're most dangerous. And I think Man City just outclassed us today. And unfortunately, it's not the first time we've said this in the past few years. I don't think it's going to be the last time we say this.
No, look, yeah, it. You know, I thought first half we put up a good performance, but second half we weren't even at the races. We weren't in the game, and that hurts. That really does hurt. John Suarez, Dennis Suarez makes his debut for us. What did you think of him?
It's hard to judge, really. He's come on in a game where, you know, we're 3-1 down, and there's not that there's nothing to play for, but it's hard for him to show anything because we didn't have the ball. So it's hard for him to do anything with it. He showed for it every time we did manage to get it back. He was always open to take the pass. Like Carl said, he looks like he's got good feet, technical ability, that kind of thing. You kind of expect that. Defensively, I thought he was a little bit lax a couple of times, like with his tracking. But again, he's literally just joined the club. You know, it's difficult to know the exact system you're playing. You're still learning it, still learning about your teammates and stuff. So I don't really think you can read too much into him in this game. I expect we'll see him play, you know, Europa League or something like that coming up, and then and be able to get more of a reading of what kind of player he is and what he's going to bring to the club. But he was always looking forwards with the ball and looked quite fairly neat in possession. So, yeah, hopefully he brings something to the team, especially in that sort of attacking third, because we are lacking that creativity at the moment.
Sorry, pal, you're lacking creativity because you're not starting with creative players, you know. I think that's a big thing to look into that. Mm. Carl, your thoughts on Suarez? I thought he looked good going forward. You know, or he looked as if he could be good going forward. We were well beaten, but he looked a bit lightweight, you know, on the ball at times. He got pushed off very, very easily, didn't he?
Yeah, but the Premier League is a very physical league. And I think, you know, compared to playing here, compared to playing in Spain, it's totally different.
Yeah.
You know, it's more physical here, and he's going to have to get used to that extremely quickly. I would like to be interested to where he's going to play, whether it's going to be, because today he played right wing, and I'd like to know if that's going to be his starting position or whether he's going to be in the middle. So it'd be interesting just to see after the next couple of games where Emre thinks that his best position is going to be, because he needs to be settled. And, you know, he's good going forward, like we saw. Like John said, he didn't have much of the ball, so he kind of didn't have much time to sort of show what he can do. But, you know, the next few games that we've got, Huddersfield away next game, and then we've got Barté Barasov, which I think he can play in, can't he? Yeah. So, you know, that will show, you know, his ability and see what he can do.
Yeah, and I think you've got to give him time to get used to the league as well. I know he's going to have to do it quickly, but it's not just going to happen at a drop of a hat. You know, it takes time for people to get used to this, these things. So, you know, yeah, you can't be too harsh on him straight away. Right, let's go on some questions, is it? The McManus put in the box. Will we have funds to buy players in the summer, or do you think Stan will blow it all on new wigs? Harsh. I like it, though. I like it. Tyrone Mitchell says, we need £250 million next window. Good luck with that, fella. That ain't happening. Oh, by the way, chat box. You're all enjoying in there. You're all getting your views across. I've only got 91 likes. Can I have 100? Two tweet, please. Tappy, tappy. Hit that like button. Let's get going. Come on. You know, let's get going. This is just, it's just embarrassing, 91 likes. It's 280 odd of you watching. And 91 likes for crying out loud. You're embarrassing yourselves. You're embarrassing ABW. You're embarrassing the Arsenal. Right, on to questions. Payesh Kapoor was in first thing, John, and he said two things that are killing us. Conceding towards half-time for a few minutes after the break, and then conceding a few minutes after we score. Why does our defence panic so quickly, and what can be done to fix it?
That is a good question. Look, that was not the defensive lineup that Emery would have liked to have gone into today's game with. I think everyone would agree with that. He probably would rather have had Socrates over Mustafi. He probably would have rather had Holding over any of the centre-backs. He would have liked to have Bellerin in there as well over Lichtsteiner. That certainly doesn't help. I think, despite the injuries, I think he at some point has to settle on a system and say, this is my system, and not change all the time, because it doesn't help the players. I do think it confuses them. And we haven't got... Our players aren't flexible in the way that City's are, where you saw them today when they were in possession, they were three at the back. When they're out of possession, they're four, and had Fernandinho floating in between midfield and defence. We don't have those kind of flexible players. And we also, the other thing as well is you've got to say, Pep's been at City three seasons. Uno's only just come in. So that's the big difference. But I do think constantly changing the system and the back line isn't going to help anyone. So that's the big one for me.
Okay. Carl, Alonso Spencer asks, where else does Emery think creativity is going to come from? If Ozil doesn't play and just only comes off the bench, what is it? Expect also, what does Emery continue to trust Iwobi? Clearly, Iwobi isn't good enough. Ooh, go Carl.
Why doesn't he play Ozil? Because I think the style that Emery wants, Ozil is not suited to that style. I think he wants a high pressing, chasing down, and tracking back, and that's not Ozil's game, never has been. So, unfortunately, Ozil's missing out. Ozil is one of our most creative players, and he's right. If you don't play one of the most creative players in the squad, how would you create it to come from? I think it's bad, but he's the manager. It's the reason why he gets paid so much money. He's got to sort out the squad. And, sometimes Ozil's chances are suited to certain games. I don't think today Ozil would have made a difference. I genuinely don't, because the way Man City were passing around us, who would you have taken up? Maybe not started Iwobi. But apart from that, I don't think Ozil would have made much of a difference today, if I'm really honest.
I want both your opinions on this. I listened to the podcast this week. It had yourself on it, Carl. It had Chris and Danny on. And Chris read out a piece from Joel, who's the Barca fan, who summarised Denis Suarez. And one of the things that jumped out about that to me was he said, Denis Suarez is a creative player, great going forward, but don't rely on him to track back. He doesn't like it. So he's not playing a player in Mesut Ozil who doesn't do enough tracking back for his liking, but yet we're getting a guy in on loan who's a very similar kind of skill set. do you see the point in that, Carl?
Honestly, no. I don't. The way Emery wants his team to play, I don't think even the team though, because he changes it week in, week out. 1 minute we're playing 4-3-3, then we're playing 4-2-3-1, then we're playing three at the back, and then so the team doesn't have a chance to settle, and that is going to be frustrating for the team. What he wants to do with Denis Suarez, who knows? Because I don't think we know where he's going to play. We don't know if Denis Suarez is going to play in the middle. We don't know if he's going to play out wide. So until he has a proper position to play in, that's when we'll see.
Okay. John, your thoughts on that? Because I know you're not Merseyside's biggest fan, but I just, you know, when we were desperate in for defensive cover, as already been mentioned, we're bringing in this guy, and I'm not knocking Denis Suarez whatsoever. You got to give him a chance, but it just seems like it seems bonkers to me. It seems absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, the one thing I would say about Joel's assessment, he's not wrong. And obviously he's talking about Suarez's time when he's played for Barca. Unai obviously had him for a whole season at Sevilla, and he was at Villarreal as well. And he obviously likes him because he played him a lot. So he obviously feels he can get something out of him that maybe he doesn't perform and do that for Barcelona when he's in a Barcelona shirt. I don't know. Perhaps that is the difference. The logic behind getting a player who, let's be honest, is not as good creatively as Mesut Ozil. We all know that. I may not like Ozil or be a fan of his, but there's no denying the guy's skill and ability. When we have so many defensive issues and we have already have Mesut Ozil in the squad who you can use, doesn't make the most sense to me. He's a bit more flexible in terms of where he could play positionally. He can play left, right, he can play through the middle. Mesut, let's be honest, his best position is number 10 and having that freedom to kind of roll around. So I don't really understand it. And again, like you say, I'm not knocking Suarez. I hope he does really well when... Perhaps he might struggle a little bit in the Premier League, but he might be really good for us in the Europa League. And if we win that and that gets us Champions League football, fantastic. And maybe he does sign permanently, maybe he doesn't. But the thinking in it at the club just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it's like I said last time, look, I think Ozil, as far as it is, as long as Emery's there, he's basically done at Arsenal. He's hardly going to play. And if Emery gets his way, he'll be gone in the summer. So it's kind of a moot point in a way. Do you know what I mean? It's not something to overlook because of the funds and everything and what we've invested in Ozil, but there's not really a conversation to be had, because as long as Emery's the manager, he's just not really going to play.
I think it's an interesting situation, and you know what I've said about that. I think Emery's going to be the one who's out. I really do. I don't see how he'll survive this ahead of Mesut. I got to be honest with you. I think with what's beyond the pitch, you know, you look at the Cardiff game, it was fucking dreadful. I know it was 3 points, but it was fucking painful to watch. That was crap, okay? Yeah. You got the City, you're changing the system again. The thing about Pep and having been at City for 3 years is he stuck with a style of play initially and then built on it. Emery hasn't done that. And if you don't have solid foundations to build upon, I don't see how you're going to get the team going, if you know what I mean. You know,
one thing St. Colombo put in the chat, and I think it's quite good, is he said we need two wingers, 4-4-2, Lacazette and Alba up front. And I do think we have seen the one thing he seems to have settled on, at least recently, is that he wants to play both of them up front in all the games. Yeah. And he does try to play them up front. And if you do that, I don't think you can necessarily play with a 10, and you do have to have your creativity wide. And no, I'm not saying Mesut Ozil can't do that, but he's not a natural wide player. Suarez is better at that. Iwobi can do it. Mkhitaryan, when he comes back as well, can play out there. And I think the fact that you've got Mkhitaryan coming back from injury, Iwobi's already ahead of Ozil and Suarez now as well, I think it just bumps Ozil further down the pecking order. And it may get to the point where he's not even making the bench anymore.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see on that one, aren't we? We really are. It's going to be interesting. John, stick with you. Thomas from Norway asks, when was Guendouzi great today or simply magnificent?
I thought he was really good. I don't want to go overboard because he is very young. The one thing I will say is, like, everyone was praising him and that's fine, but his awareness behind him is dreadful. I'm sorry, it is. And I'm not, it's the only thing I want to pick on him for, and it's something that he'll learn with experience. But the amount of times players run off him and he was 2-3 yards until he reacted really frustrated me. The rest of his game was brilliant. I really thought he was good. He had the right attitude. He was very positive thinking when he had the ball and trying to go forwards. He created or helped in the build up to some of our only chances in the game. And I like that. Again, he, I thought he had a couple of not nasty tackles, but like hard tackles on him, and he didn't react again. So that side of his game seems to be going away, which is really nice. So, yeah, I thought he had a very, very good game, but still, when players run off him, he's not aware enough. But don't get me wrong, Kevin De Bruyne is, for me, probably, arguably the best midfielder in Europe, if not the world at the moment, although he's not fully match fit. And if it's him who's running off your back and clever movement, it's difficult to pick up. But you should still be a little bit more aware. You could see the difference in which player was more defensive-minded, because you saw Torreira today. He always went with his runners that went off the back of him. And Guendouzi didn't do that. But other than that, I thought, yeah, he had a really good game. And especially off the back of the Cardiff game as well, where I thought he was our best player.
I think one of the things, you know, you mentioned that players running off him. There was an incident that Lee Dixon mentioned in the second half where I think it's Torreira who had the ball, and Aubameyang arcs his run to give himself space. He makes a shot which is blocked, which went for a corner. But the way he arced his run, the defender had to follow him. And it gives Aubameyang the option to cut back inside if the defender gets a bit too tight. Do you know what I mean? We don't see a lot of our players matching those runs, yeah. You know, I mean, if he's beaten by great piece of movement like Aubameyang had, you can't argue. But if he's failed to follow the runner, I think it's fair play. I think he was very good today. The more I see of Guendouzi, the more I do like him. You know,
those things today is just concentration levels. You know, you're playing against one of the best teams in Europe as well. Yeah. Like Bernardo Silva today for City was absolutely fantastic. I know people saying De Bruyne wasn't great. Yeah, I don't think he was great, but even De Bruyne at 50% is still a very, very good player and hard to mark. And it's just an age thing. It's something that will come with experience and playing at this level.
Look, with KDB, look at the amount of shots he got off, okay? Yeah. You know, he's getting into positions, okay, which we weren't. But for Guendouzi, he's 19 and he's coming along quite nicely, thank you very much, which is great to see. Carl, Drunk Cat Phil asks, can we make it a rule every time we consider playing Mustafi, we just laugh and play Mav instead? He's got a better beard.
Mustafi's days, I think, are numbered at the club as well. I don't think it's good enough. I don't think if it was good enough. I think he was a panic buy from the previous regime. You know, I'm not going to say he's been totally, totally bad for us, but he hasn't been very good for us. I'm not going to put him into the worst defenders we've ever had, like Seagan and Giroud, and the list can go on and on and on of bad defenders we've had, but he's not good enough. No way is he good enough for us. And I think maybe it's time to start blooding Mavropanos to come into the squad, because I just don't know what's wrong with Mustafi. I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's him as a player. I don't know. He definitely is just not good enough for Arsenal Football Club. And I think the sooner we do cash in for him, get rid of him, the better.
I've got to be honest with you, mate. I look at our defence as a whole. It's shit, you know?
Yeah, but he doesn't make us
He doesn't, but neither does anybody else at the moment. And that's the one thing I'm looking at. We're looking at a kid that, you know, Mavropanos has had 10 minutes today. So, you know, he's got 3 appearances beforehand. Okay, one where he gets sent off. This kid looks like he's got a load of talent, to be fair to him. He really does. But I think, you know, our defence this season has not improved one iota on last season. And that's the worrying part as well. You know, people like or dislike Mustafi, that's fine. Do whatever you think. You know, I don't care. But I think, you know, you look at our marking of Aguero on the back post today. Fucking Koscielny didn't know where he was. Nacho didn't know where he was. Nobody knew where he was. We didn't stop anything from any side of the park. I think, you know, it's we're in difficult times in defence.
But and you, that, just a quick question, leaving to both of you. So, of next season, of our defenders who are there now, who do you think is going to be there on September the 1st?
Fuck. John, you answer that, because
Hector, Holding, Sokratis, Mav, and probably Kolasinac. I don't think Nacho will be there. I don't think Koscielny will be there. And I think Mustafi will be gone as well. Oh, and Lichtsteiner will be gone as well. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I think the big thing's going to be, can you move Mustafi on? You know, Nacho.
Have to take the loss.
Can you move him on?
He's been at the club long enough that he's been swallowed, you know, in those terms.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know I'm saying this because the bingo thing, but the resale value, that's gone. You know, we're not going to get what we paid for Mustafi, and we never should have paid what we paid for Mustafi in the first place, to be honest. So we're going to have to take, I would say, minimum of a 20 mil loss on Mustafi. But like you said, he's been at the club for a while now, so that's kind of get swallowed up. I think Koscielny, he's got to go. You know, I think he's, as much as I love Koscielny, and I can hear the pirate right now in my ears. Going, oh, well, you know, he's good enough. He's not. I think his time's finished. I think his time was finished probably two seasons ago, but we kept him. He had a bad injury, and he's come back from a bad injury. You know, let's not forget about that. But I think his time for sentiment is gone now, and he's just not good enough either to play for Arsenal. Lichtsteiner never was good enough to play for Arsenal and should not be on the pitch, and it's worrying times that he's our starting right back for the rest of the season, because Jenkinson doesn't. Oh yeah, Jenkinson as well. Bloody hell.
Oh yeah, he'll be gone.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be there either. Like, but I personally, because we talked about it on the pod, I personally would have put Jenkinson in the squad today. Maybe not started him, but he definitely should have been in the squad. And in fact, he wasn't even there.
But this is the thing, guys. Okay, we're talking about getting rid of all these players. Okay, we're not signing replacements for all those players. We ain't got the money to do that. I just don't see where you replace all these guys from. And I think that's your big issue. It's not just a case of who you want in the squad, but it's who you're going to replace them with.
If everyone was fit, then you've got too many defenders as it is. You've certainly got too many centre-backs if everyone's fit. You've also got Callum Chambers, don't forget, as well, who could possibly come back.
But okay, so when have we ever had too many defenders in the squad that are all fit? Because this is the one thing, you know, we go back to the Chelsea final where, you know, we're reliant on Rob Holding and Per Mertesacker to get us through it.
Worked out that day, though, didn't it?
It did, you know. That was one of the nice ones, that was. Do you remember that radio show? That was so much fun.
I don't think I was that on that one, actually.
I do remember.
Yeah, I missed the cup final. Yeah,
that was a good show because we were just so happy because no one was expecting a win, and we were just like, "Fuck me, we just won the FA Cup against Chelsea."
Oh, happy days, guys! Happy days. John, right? Neil Vergela asks, "Why can't we play Nacho Monreal at right back? We have seen right-footed players play left back before, so why not Nacho at left at right back?"
There's no reason you can't. Why does Emery not do it? I don't know. I don't know why he insists on playing Lichtsteiner, to be honest. It's partly to do, I assume, with he doesn't want the fullbacks to cut back inside because he wants them to provide any width we've got. And especially today where we were so very, very narrow in that 4-4-2. It's not like the left and right mids in Iwobi and Kolasinac played really wide. They were really, really tucked in. So maybe that's part of the reason. But I'm not against it necessarily. Nacho's certainly like technically good enough to play on the right-hand side.
Yeah, yeah. Daz Quint asks about what do you think of our new signing? We've already covered that, Daz. I'm going to answer the next one, actually. Damar Facey asks thoughts on Mavropanos. And the McManus asks, should Mavropanos start? Oh, he's still 20, Mavropanos, isn't he? He's got 3 appearances in the first team last season in the Premier League and 10 minutes today. I think he's, from what we saw of him last season, he's an undoubted talent. I think he's got pace. And I think our defence badly needs pace. It's going to boil down to a lot of what is seen in training, in all fairness, because you're looking at a kid now who's still developing. The Premier League is an unforgiving place. And when you got, you know, any striker worth, you know, if you play him against a Giles Barnes or, you know, a Troy Deeney or whatever, they'll see a young kid and they're going to target him. We need to be smart in the way we bring him through. If Unai wants to bring him through, great. Would I start him yet? I'm not sure. I think you've got to take it game by game. So, you know, it's a little bit of a difficult one. He's a talent, but, you know, don't pile all the pressure on him. He's a long-term investment for this club and could become, you know, could become a real asset to us. But you've got to wait and see. Carl, on to you. Dakatic asks, is it Datakic asks, or I don't know. How many wins in a row should we expect after today? We have an easy schedule. And the schedule is this. Huddersfield Town away. Bate Borisov away. Bate Borisov at home. Southampton at home. Bournemouth away. And home. then we got the scum away.
Okay, so Huddersfield away. If we don't win that, then something drastically has gone wrong. Bate Borisov, we should win home and away. Should win home and away. If we don't win away, we definitely will win home. Southampton at home. They've on a little resurgence, aren't they, since their managerial change. But I think we should have enough about us to win that. Bournemouth at home, we should win that. I know Bournemouth, and they got their striker, is it King? He was, he's a little player, isn't he? But yeah, we should win that. And the scum away, you know, let's be honest, with heart of hearts, I could say, yeah, we're going to smash them away. That's going to be a very hard game. It is going to be a very, very difficult game, because I guarantee by then they'll have Kane back, they'll have Diving Alley back. So, sound like Steve, don't I? Jesus Christ. And that's the problem. They're going to have all their players back for that game. You can almost guarantee it. So, I think of all those games, I think all of them are winnable apart from one, which is the scum away.
But if you win all those and you win that, that's a really, really good run.
You know? 100%.
And that sets you up nicely for the fourth place challenge, doesn't it? It really does. John, Marble Halls TV asks, if Everton continue to be shit, should we buy Richarlison?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we should go back and get Theo Walcott. I really like Richarlison, and I know lots of people sort of were stunned by his 40 million price tag and whatever, but that's just what happens when you do deals between two Premier League clubs. I don't think we'll be spending that kind of money on a player, to be honest, come the summer. I assume that there's going to be a centre-back target of some sort, maybe a full-back, and then, I don't know, maybe we get a midfielder, like a centre-mid or something like that. But yeah, I like Richarlison. I think he's a good player. It depends on what happens with coming, you know, players going in and out.
He's a talented boy, isn't he? Really is. I mean, as much as I don't like the sort of Brazilian nonsense side of him, he can play. The boy can play. Right, final question. This is for us all. So we're going to go around each other one by one here. Payesh Kapoor comes back in with, when Wenger said fourth place is like a trophy, he was heavily criticised. But now fourth place and above is the most important thing for money. Wenger's right after all. Do you agree? John, start with you.
Yeah, I don't think I ever disagreed with him that fourth place was important. I always wanted to win trophies, obviously, because every football fan does. That's why you support a team, because you want to see your team win things. But yeah, being in the Champions League is the most important thing. Sadly, now more so than ever. Even back then it was, to be fair, just because of the amount of money that you get from it. It's attractive for players to play at the Champions League club. It brings in more revenue, which means you can have a higher wage budget, all these kind of things. It means you get better commercial deals. And it's all the crap, boring side of football that no one really wants to get involved in or talk about. But it directly affects what you watch on the pitch. So yeah, I think he was always right that it was. It's not that the thing is, it's not a trophy for the fans or anything else, but what it is gives the fans the ability to say, I get to watch my team and hopefully they play attractive football because they've got more money. Hopefully they can sign a cool, you know, exciting player because they've got more money to spend. Hopefully it's a long-term project that we get into the Champions League and we're in it for a few years and build up a young squad and we get them to the point where we then challenge for a title or for the Champions League or something like that. You have to look at it in those sense. So you don't get like a trophy parade or, you know, that kind of thing, or the bus, you know, the bus stop, open bus parade. But it is so important in terms of what you can do and what you watch on the pitch.
Carl?
Kind of what John said. Is it like a trophy? No. Like, would I prefer a trophy over a top four? Yes. But just for the money aspect, it's so, so important. It really is. Because every team, every supporter wants to see their team play in the Champions League. You know, that's where it is. That's where the money is. And even if you get knocked out of the Champions League in, you know, the group stages, you make more money from that than you do, I think, even making it all the way to the final of the Europa League. So that just shows how much money is in the Champions League. And as long as you're in the Champions League, you can attract the world's best players and you can kind of afford to pay them because you've got the money there to give to them and to spend it. So Wenger, I believe he probably worded it incorrectly, but I can understand what he was saying.
I got to be honest, I think he worded it correctly for what he wanted to say. You know, the money side of it, you both mentioned, it's imperative. If you look at Liverpool's commercial revenue from last season, getting to the final has earned them bucketfuls and bucketfuls of cash, okay? That getting to the latter stages is the one thing we fell down on in the latter years under Arsene. You know, getting past that sort of first round proper after the group stages. And that earns you a lot of money. But I've got to be honest with you, the big thing for me is, okay, watching Thursday night Europa League is just shit. It's just absolutely shit, it is, okay? It's crap teams, okay? It's just, it's a non-event. Yet, when you used to see us against, you know, Barcelona, okay, even when we get humped by Bayern Munich, the stadium's full, there's excitement, there's a real get up and go, and I think that's hurt us a lot. So, that's it. That's it for tonight. Yeah, we're done. It's been a shit afternoon. It's just really gutting, really just frustrating. And unfortunately, you know, we kind of knew it was going to be that way. My thanks to everybody in the chat box. You know, you're superb as usual. Agree or disagree with each other, that's the way it goes. You know, it's all fun and fair, but it's been a really good chat box tonight. So thank you, one and all. 117 likes. Yeah, it should be 150, but I'll let you off with that one. To all those of you listening on other platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever it is, thanks for your support. Really, really appreciate it. You're absolutely brilliant. Big thanks to Matt Sanasi for the opening title. We really, really appreciate that. It's superb. You're an absolute genius, fella. Well done. Many thanks to J Rob, Unique 79, The McManus, Gunashai 77, and Aryan Hadari for all of the donations. You know, you keep on blowing us away with those. It's unbelievable. So thank you. John, thank you very much, mate.
Thanks, Jace. You've made me feel better, and the chat box has as well, as always. They always cheer us up.
I haven't given you a hand, Shandy, mate, so I don't know why you're smiling.
Oh, I had to lower the tone at the end, didn't you?
Oh, of course I did. When has the tone ever been high? Nice. Carl, you're a star, mate. Thank you for your efforts today. Much appreciated.
No worries. I'm about to put a carpenter and watch 22 farmers on a football pitch attempt to play football. I don't know why I'm going to do it, but I am.
You're not watching the... Who's playing?
PSG and...
Lyon.
Yes.
Ooh. Pray for Lana. She's not looking forward to it.
Poor Lana. She's not going to be happy after this, is she? She really is not. Look who's just turned up in the chat box. It's Danny the GFP.
Oh, he's just woke up, has he?
He's got shingles, to be fair. And he's not, he's not good at being ill, is Danny. He's got a very, very low pain threshold. And I think he's scratching away like a cat on a, well, I don't know what the hell a cat scratches on. So I don't know why I'm even gibbering on after this. Guys, there's going to be a podcast this week. We have no idea who's on it. So apologies. We haven't done the lineups for next week's radio show, but we'll be going for the Barte game. And well, that's it. Good night. Take care. God bless you all. Keep it Arsenal. It's been a bad day, but there's better days to come. So keep on going. John, switch this shit up.